Well, we're to the last chapter of 1 Corinthians. And I'll tell you a secret. Maybe it's not a secret. Maybe I've already told it. But we usually didn't have a Bible study on Sunday morning. We usually had that on Sunday night and Wednesday night. But I was led of the Lord to start having Bible study on Sunday morning. We have a very poor turnout on Sunday night and Wednesday night. And I thought, there's too many that are missing out on the real Bible study. So I started having Bible study on Sunday morning. I think you realize that since I've taught the book of Romans, and that's a blessed book. Well, of course, all of them are. And then this book of Corinthians. And Corinthians is very important because there's so much here that is instruction for the church. So much instruction. And if there is any time today, it's needed. Yeah. And as you look around here this morning, how few there are. And Donna went up to the fellowship meeting at Carbondale yesterday, and he said it was really a very low turnout to the fellowship meeting. That's the way things are going in these last days. And I'll tell you, too, you know, we have a mail list that we mail out the paper. And to assemblies, it's always a package. And then individuals, well, of course, individual papers. But all of the Grace meetings are going down in attendance. The young people seem to no longer come or take part. Now, I'm not talking about our meeting. I'm talking in general. And we might think, well, why is that happening in the Grace meetings? Let me tell you something. It's happening all over. All of the churches, the attendance is down. Even in, except maybe the mega churches, I don't know about them, but even the legal assemblies, the Baptists, the Methodists, the big churches downtown, the attendance is down. Jesus is coming soon.
Yeah, praise the Lord.
We need to be ready. We want to be ready, don't we?
Yeah.
Yes. And you know, you can go a lot of places and be entertained spiritually. Lots of entertaining music and a lot of, they call them praise and worship service. You know what's missing? The word is neglected. And that's what builds us up. That's what encourages us. That's what stabilizes us. And especially in these last days, we need the word to be rooted and grounded in the truth. And so we don't want to let down, do we? And I thank the Lord you're here this morning. But we need to pray for those that are letting down. Now, I know there's some who's missing this morning because of trips and different things. But in general, that's the way it's going. And, well, it's a test in this time, too. Are we going to stay true? Are we going to keep going on? I'm so thankful for the ones who still come out on Sunday night and Wednesday night. Oh, thank the Lord. But I'm thankful for everybody that comes on Sunday morning, too, that you still are honoring the Lord and coming and worshiping him. Yes, and we do. He's so important in our lives. We couldn't get along without the Lord. Whenever I hear of somebody letting down, or they're just not going anywhere, or they're just going somewhere else, I have to tell you, it's depressing. It's depressing. But praise the Lord, it's a test right here. A test for me, a test for all of us. Are we going to stand for... Oh, I love that first song we sang. Yes. You know, sometimes we... These songs are so familiar to us. Sometimes we sing the words and we don't even stop to think of what we're singing because we're so used to them. But, oh, there was quite a message right there in that. Of course, there's... I tell you, there's no songbook like this songbook because it's scriptural. You get a sermon in every, song. And that's the truth. Well, the Lord willing, I'm not sure what we'll study next, but it'll still be a Bible study. And I pray the Lord lead me, and you pray for me. You know, sometimes we may not think, well, the pastor doesn't need any prayer. Well, I do. I need prayer. So pray for me. Praise the Lord. Turn to the 16th chapter, 1 Corinthians, and I'm going to read verses 1 and 2. Now, concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay aside, or put aside, him in store. Notice that's individual. As God hath prospered him, that there be no gathering when I come. Now, I don't want to be for you to misunderstand this portion. Well, first of all, we know by studying this book that Paul has dealt at length with the problems that were present in the Corinth church. And that's the reason why he wrote this book to them, that they might learn and that they would improve because they were still in the baby stage. They shouldn't have been, but they were. It was by choice that they remained babies. And now he's speaking of a practical matter here. You know, Paul was very concerned, and as you read Paul's epistles, this isn't the only place. He was very concerned about the poor, persecuted saints in Jerusalem. And he had given order to the churches of Galatia. And he says here to the Corinth assembly, so do ye. Cooperate with the other churches in for the poor persecuted saints in Jerusalem. Now, I want to make it clear, this is not speaking about tithing. This is speaking about giving. There is a difference between tithes and giving. We know that tithes is the 10%, and that's the Lord's. But giving is, see, more above tithing. I will say this, my husband was a giver. Well, anyway, he's not the only one. There's some givers here. And I thank the Lord for that. And his instructions unto them for this giving is for them individually on the first day of the week to put a portion aside. And of course, in this instance, it was for those poor persecuted ones in Jerusalem. And he says, is he setting them out here? No. He says, according as God has prospered you. Thank the Lord for how he does. prosper. Yes. And, of course, a regular proportionate giving, it really removes the need for a special collection. And that's what Paul is saying here, that there be no gathering when I come. Now, I want you to notice in verse 3 and 4, Paul's not speaking about giving to him. When I come, whomsoever ye shall approve by your letters, them will I send to bring your liberality or your gift unto Jerusalem. And if it be meet that I go also, they shall go with me. So whosoever they choose that is a worthy one to do this, that they will handle the money to take it to Jerusalem. And if need be, Paul would accompany him on the journey there to deliver the offering. So you notice, Paul isn't interested in them. This is not an offering for him, for himself. He was very careful to avoid criticism in church financial matters. And he says, whomsoever you approve, appoint them to this. I do want to mention how we do things in our assembly. And I think most of you already know this, but I'm going to go over it anyway. We only take up two offerings all week long, and they're both on Sunday morning. And the one is taken up during Sunday school time. And Kay Lawson is our treasurer, and she's a good treasurer. She takes care of paying the expenses of the assembly, such as the utilities and insurance. I tell you, insurance for churches is expensive, and the only way we could handle it is to pay it just monthly. And so she handles those things and takes care of those matters and whatever other expenses there would be. And then on the fourth Sunday, the Sunday school offering goes to the missionaries. And I'll tell you, we support, I think it's about, I haven't ever counted them up. We support quite a few missionaries. And the other offering, the only other offering is taken up during the worship time, church on Sunday morning, and that's the offering for the pastor. And as I said, I think all of you know this, but I thought, well, I need to, if anybody didn't know, I just wanted to make it clear. Let's read verses 5 through 7. Now I will come unto you when I shall pass through Macedonia. For I do pass through Macedonia. And it may be that I will abide, yea, and winter with you, that ye may bring me on my journey whithersoever I go. For I will not see you now by the way, but I trust to tarry a while with you, if the Lord permit. Yes. Getting the mind of the Lord, that's Paul. And he does not really plan to see them right now as he says he journeyed. I think that he wants to wait until his letter has taken effect. And then he says if the Lord does permit, that he will tarry with them a short time. Verse 8, but I will tarry at Ephesus until Pentecost, well, or the Feast of Pentecost. Now we learn from Acts chapter 19 that he left ahead of schedule. Now let's read verse 9. For a great door and effectual is opened unto me, and there are many adversaries. So here we see the reason why he tarries at Ephesus an effectual door, one of service, is opened up to him, of ministering. It's a great opportunity. And there are many adversaries who will oppose and did oppose and challenge him and challenge his message. Verse 10 and 11. Now if Timotheus, now this is Timothy. Now if Timotheus come, see that he may be with you without fear. For he worketh the work of the Lord as I also do. Let no man therefore despise him, but conduct him forth in peace, that he may come unto me, for I look for him with the brethren. You know, Timotheus was a young man. He says, don't despise him. Don't despise his youth. And Timothy was a great comfort to Paul. He led Timothy to the Lord. And he calls him his son in other places, his scripture. And he was to come to Corinth with Paul's message that the saints might be rooted and grounded in the love of the truth. There are many Corinthian saints today. They abound. Just babes in Christ. Many not even really knowing the word. Walking as men. Might say walking according to the world, for the most part. Rich in their own conceits. Doing big things without Paul's gospel. They need to hear Timothy, who will declare fully the gospel of grace unto them. Timothy's name means honored of God, and I want you to think about this. This is exactly what God is doing today. He has some that are honored of him, that are bringing forth the gospel of grace that was revealed unto the Apostle Paul. It's a glorious message. A glorious message. The gospel of grace. The gospel of glory to all who will receive it. Not all will receive it. Some close their ears. That's not what they're interested in. They want the entertainment. They want the big goings on. Praise the Lord. What's the Holy Spirit saying? Receive him that is honored of God. Despise him not. Don't despise the Timothys. Conduct him forth in peace. That's what we read here. Verse 12. As touching our brother Apollos, I greatly desired him to come unto you with the brethren. But his will was not at all to come at this time. But he will come when he shall have convenient time. I just loved what Brother Copley had to say about Apollos. Paul desired him to come to Corinth, but he wasn't willing at this time. You see, they were not ready for Apollos. Not able to bear the strong meat of the word yet. Not until Timothy comes and prepares the way. Prepares those saints to receive then and be ready for the strong meat of the word. But he will come in the perfect order of the Lord. What does Paul say? Look for him. Yeah, look for him. Verse 13. Here's some strong admonitions from our Apostle Paul. May we take them individually ourselves. Watch ye. Stand fast in the faith. Quit you like men. Be strong. Paul firmly, yet tenderly, encourages his children to fuller development, to prepare them for the coming of Timothy and then of Paulus. As I said before, may we take these admonitions to heart, each one of us personally. For we want to be ready for the Lord when he comes. He's making those who are willing ready. You know that first one, it says watch ye. In other words, be watchful. And I think that Colossians, I'll get straightened out here in a minute. Colossians, the fourth chapter and the second verse is a good, demonstration or I can't think of the word I want to use, to tell us how to be watchful. It says, continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. So it's not just all just studying God's word, but let's stay in communication with the Lord. And to be a well-balanced Christian, prayer and the word. Prayer and the word. If they're even among those who do study the Bible and study the word, maybe read it every day, we wonder, you know, how much is spent in prayer except maybe for a prayer request, you know, the ones that are need a touch of healing or somebody has passed away. We want to be in communion with our Father, our Heavenly Father. Is that not a good description of being watchful? I think so. Continue in prayer. Watch in the same with thanksgiving. What's the second thing that's said here? Stand fast in the faith. I think the best thing to give a description of that is to give the word. 1 Corinthians 15:58 says, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know, your labor is not in vain in the Lord. The Lord rewards. And then we go to Galatians, the fifth chapter, in verse 1. It says, stand fast in the liberty wherein Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. What's that yoke of bondage? It's the law. Stand fast in the liberty, in the grace of God. We're saved by grace once for all. Yeah. Amen?
Amen.
And in that same chapter in Galatians, in verse 11, it says, the just shall live by faith. We go on to the book of Philippians. The first chapter in verse 27, it says, let your conversation, do you know what that word conversation means in the Greek? It means your manner of life. So let's read it that way. Let your manner of life be as becometh the gospel of Christ, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. We read in 2 Peter 3:17, "Don't be led away by error, because you will fall from your own steadfastness." Now, it's not talking about salvation. It's your steadfastness of being strong in the faith. You get it? Yes. And what's the last thing? It says, "Quit you like men, be strong." Ephesians 6:10 says, "Finally, brethren, be strong in the Lord and" how? "In the power of his might." Yes, that's how we can quit like men and be strong. It's in the power of his might. 2 Timothy 2:1, "My son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." Be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Let's continue here in our chapter, verse 14. "Let all your things be done with charity," and that, of course, that's love. "Let all your things be done with love." Do we not read in Galatians, the 5th chapter, verse 13, it says, "By love, serve one another." We're not in competition with each other. We're not envious of each other. By love, serve one another. We're all members of the body of Christ, members one of another. And then in Philippians, Paul prays for the saints, and he says his prayer is that they abound in the love of the Lord more and more. He said they was already showing love, but he wanted them to abound yet more and more. You know, can we take that to heart? I think so. We love the brethren, don't we? But praise the Lord. The love of the Lord Jesus Christ, we want to abound yet more and more in us and through us. Verse 15, "I beseech you, brethren," ye know the house of Stephanas, "that it is the first fruits of Achaia, and that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the word." Well, here's a good here's a good addiction. Yes, serving the saints, ministering to the saints, serving them. Verse 16, "that ye submit," I underlined that word submit, it's important, "and ye submit yourselves unto such, and to everyone that helpeth with us and laboreth." Yes, be helpful, be hospitable. Praise the Lord. Verse 17, "I am glad of the coming of Stephanas and Fortunaeus and Achaeus, that for that which was lacking on your part, they have supplied." Yes, the Corinth assembly did not really support Paul financially, but the Lord always takes care of his own. They haven't learned yet at this time. So those saints, they supported Paul that was lacking when he was ministering to others. Verse 18, "For they have refreshed my spirit and yours. Therefore, acknowledge ye them that are such. The churches of Asia salute you. Aquila and Priscilla salute you, much in the Lord with the church that is in their house. All the brethren greet you. Greet ye one another with a holy kiss." Now, this means showing fellowship. I really intended to go to Carbondale yesterday, but I was hindered, and I took it from the Lord. that it wasn't his will that I go at that time. But I wanted to go just to show fellowship. And they're having this ministers' convention down in Oklahoma in Broken Arrow. I think it's the 7th of May. And it's in my heart to go and just show fellowship. There are some things that I don't see eye to eye maybe with them, but they're my brother and sister in the Lord, and I want to go and show fellowship. But I'm praying about it. And if that's not the Lord's will, I'm sure he'll make it known to me. So, but all that belong and to the Lord, all who have accepted Jesus Christ as Savior, we're all in the same body, the body of Christ, believers. Now, that isn't the Christendom. That's not the world church. I'm talking about the believers. But they may be in some of those denominations, of course. Verse 21, the salutation of me, Paul, with my own hand. You know, there is mostly after he was probably stoned, he had trouble with his eyes, and sometimes he had to dictate, you might say, and Luke or somebody else was doing the writing for him. But he says here, this salutation is with my own hand. Verse 22, if any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema. Maranatha. All right. We'll have to look at this in the Greek. Just what is this saying? If anyone does not love the lovely, holy character of Jesus Christ as God's dear son, let him be anathema. Let him be accursed. Maranatha, the Lord cometh. Yes. He's coming. The world don't believe it. Many Christians aren't living like they believe it, but the Lord is coming. Well, the curse of God was due every sinner, and it fell upon God's Son at Calvary for you and I. He bore the curse once for all. And he will come. The eternal blesser of all who believe on him. Verse 23. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. My love be with you all in Christ Jesus. Amen. And I say, amen. Let's sing a song.